discerninghearts.com. In cooperation with Seeking Truth, Catholic Bible Study presents Genesis, Seeking Truth with Sharon Doran. In this study of the first book in Sacred Scripture, we're presented a sweeping view of the story of salvation. The narration is the story of Christ, present from the very beginning of time to the very end yet to come. It is a powerful story present throughout the entire Bible. Saint Jerome said, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." The mission of Seeking Truth is to actively seek truth and raise up disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ through an in-depth Catholic Bible study. We now present Genesis, Seeking Truth with Sharon Doran.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Seeking Truth. I am just so thankful for what God has done in bringing us all together to study His Word again for a second year. So exalt the cross, and we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and I can't think of a more beautiful feast day that we would get to start with. Mary always wants to bear the Word to the world. She still wants to bear the Word to the world, to be impregnated with the Word of God and to bear Him to the world. That was her yes. That was her fiat. That was her obedience. And that's what we want to do here too. Model after her and bear the Word to the world. In John's Gospel last year, we studied seven I Am statements, the I Ams of Jesus Christ. And He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ is truth. And so when we're seeking truth, we're seeking Jesus. And He tells us, "Seek and you will find." The one who seeks finds. So we're seeking truth, we're seeking Jesus, and we will find Him. We will find Him in His Word. And that's what we're about, seeking truth. And when you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. When you know Jesus, then Jesus will set you free. A lot of people like to quote that line, but they don't look in full context to what comes before it. And it says, if, it's an if-then statement, watch out. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So obedience is going to be required. Freedom comes through obedience to God's word. Freedom comes through obedience to Jesus. So to obey His word, and in the Old Testament, it was always to hear and obey. My kids haven't figured that out yet. You know, you can say it five times and they don't obey. They hear it, but they don't obey. But He wants us to hear and obey in one. Hear His word and obey His word. This word is like no other word. It's authored by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. And we have to know His word so we know what to obey. If we don't know what's in there, we don't know what we're supposed to obey. God's word is living and active. It's effective. The word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He tabernacled among us. We learned that last year in the climax of John's prologue. And a new Eve, Mary, said, "Yes, be it done unto me according to your word." Mary bears the word in perfect obedience. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And by the power of the Holy Spirit did she conceive the word. Not by the power of man and flesh, but by the power of God. Life begins at the moment of conception. So when Mary was overpowered, overshadowed by the Spirit, the word was born inside her. Mary is present at the very birth of Christ. That's the moment when He became alive. The word became alive inside of her. And Mary is present at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. Again, she's overpowered, overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you ever make that connection? The two times in Scripture when Mary is overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, the birth of Christ and the birth of the church. Overpowered by the Spirit. Mary's also present at the foot of the cross with beloved John, the evangelist, last year. That perfect model of fidelity. And with that, He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Some translations say gave over his spirit. And there she is. As he gives over his spirit, there she is at the foot of the cross again. Mary sees water and blood flow from his pierced side in John, a prefigurement of baptism and Eucharist. The church is a prefiguration of the church coming right from the side of cross of his right from the side of Christ, and there she is at the foot of the cross. And he gives over his spirit. Near the cross was Mary weeping, there her mourning station keeping, gazing on her dying son, there in speechless anguish, groaning, yearning, trembling, sighing, moaning. Through her soul, the sword had gone. Simeon predicted that in the temple when the couple brought the poor offering, the two pigeon offering, as they brought their baby to be presented. And Simeon had waited all his life, and he said, now I can die. I've seen him. I've seen salvation. I've seen the light to the Gentiles. But he told Mary that Jesus would reveal the hearts of many. That's what he does. He reveals our heart. But a sword will pierce your own soul too. If Jesus loved Mary so much, why wouldn't he spare her this great suffering? I mean, he's God. He could have made her die 3 years ago. You know, he could have spared her from all that. Why, if he loved her so much, wouldn't he spare her this great suffering? And if he loves us so much, why doesn't he spare great suffering in our lives? I know a lot of people here are going through difficult situations right now. They're suffering. Why doesn't he spare us from all that? Because he knows the power of his cross. And he invites us in love to embrace his cross. Yesterday was the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. There's power in the cross. It's crazy to the world. The world doesn't get it at all. And we fight it. I fight it. Suffering? Really? That's what you're signing on for, folks. A year of suffering ahead. But having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them with a cross. A common cross of a criminal, he makes a public spectacle of the authorities, triumphing over them by the cross. It's crazy. When Mary's suffering was united with his, it too was redemptive for the souls of the world. And when our suffering is united with his, it too is redemptive for the souls of the world. We are perfected in obedience by accepting the will of the Father and saying, yes, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. I will obey. I will be obedient. Be it done unto me according to your word. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who was not spared this great pain. And we learn through the word to love and embrace the cross because he won our salvation with the cross. He died on that cross that we might live eternally and help bring us back to that separate, we're in separated state from the Father, and he brings us back to that original state of holiness, back to the image and likeness of God that we were created for. Matthew 16 tells us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. We all have crosses in our life. This is a hill in Lithuania. It's called the Hill of the Crosses, and pilgrims come and put their cross there. It's powerful. A sword will pierce your own soul, too. My cancer surgery, I've had 9 surgeries, but the last one was 2 years ago on this day, September 15th. 2 years ago, on the surgeon said, we have to operate immediately. The only opening I had is on the 15th. I took my Magnificat, saw the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. That'll be perfect. Let it be done to me according to your word. I tried to pray that. I remember praying that the day before the surgery. And it was on that day that the sorrowful mother confirmed to me in a very powerful way that a Catholic Bible study was needed for her children. Will you say yes and help me bear the word? This Bible study sprung from suffering and from obedience. And I didn't know what I was saying yes to, but neither did Mary. And I'm not saying I'm like Mary, but I just didn't know what I was saying yes to. And my husband, Steve, didn't know what he was saying yes to. But neither did Joseph. And the Holy Family, they were obedient. And Mary and Joseph knew that they were to give the word to the world. And when I Googled Holy Family, our family did not come up. But I found this picture anyway. And, you know, it's really been all of us. It's been a family project because the kids have to, I mean, a lot of things in our household revolve around this. And so we all work together. The mission of Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study is to actively seek truth. That would be to seek Jesus and raise up disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ through an in-depth Catholic Bible study. And it is in-depth, right, guys? It is. His Excellency Archbishop George Lucas has given us his blessing and his support, and he will be attending this year. I'm not sure what night yet, but he said, make sure you invite me back. So he came last year, and he loves his flock to be in God's Word. We are studying the book of Genesis this year in the beginning, and we did John last year. It's a beautiful dovetail. Now we're going to see it the other way from a different perspective. We are using the Catholic Scripture Study International Curriculum. We reviewed several curriculums, three or four different ones, and prayed a lot and felt we would go with this one. The commentator is Steve Ray. And he will be doing the writings and the commentary. He's a convert from the Baptist faith. He loves God's word. He sees it in a different way with his background. And there's a lot of apologetics. And it's just beautiful the way he explains things. I think you'll enjoy. He's on Catholic Answers a lot. He's a great guy. We want to welcome our non-Catholic brothers and sisters. There are people in our class that are not Catholic, and we want to just, I hope we can offer you reverence and respect, but I'm sure you've heard it is a Catholic Bible study, so we will be saying everything from the Catholic perspective. So we just are so honored that you would be with us and study with us, and we will learn from each other. Before you do your study, always pray. Start it that way. Just ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to come to you now as you prepare to study, and He will. And He will enlighten your mind and your heart, and He will inspire you. We discourage using other commentaries, just your prayer, your Bible, and then the commentary we're working with. Because there's about 6,000 bazillion different commentaries, and so we're just going to keep to this one. If you have not had a chance to answer your questions, then please just sit quietly in your discussion room. Because if you haven't honored God's word in studying it, then it'd be better to sit quiet. We take it pretty seriously. So study the word so you can contribute to answering. And we have people from many states joining us by computer. And so, high distance learners, we are thankful that you're here and joining us. And maybe you have a daughter or son or an aunt or uncle, and you think, wow, you know, Aunt Millie would love this in New York, you know. You can send her the website and the information, and she can register, and it can come right to her on computer in her own home. So keep that in the back of your mind. Distance ed, we don't have to limit, we don't have to limit it at all. And they can sign up at any time, even halfway through. We have a website. If you forget it, it's seekingtruth.net. You can Google it. It comes right up. But our calendar and important announcements are posted periodically. We have promised His Excellency, the Archbishop, fidelity. We have promised fidelity to Catholic Church teaching at this Bible study. The wisdom and guidance of the Magisterium will guide our study of Sacred Scripture. For the first 400 years, there was no New Testament. And so the church, I mean, think about that. Our country is 235 years old, and we think we're so old and we're all that. But for 400 years, there wasn't even a New Testament canon. So the church, in oral tradition, the magisterium protected and guarded the scriptures. So the church was born about 400 years before the New Testament was put together. And Jesus himself, in the Great Commission, when he said, Jesus came to them and said, before he ascended, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is to the 11. Judas is out of the picture. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. No New Testament for 400 years. These guys were supposed to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you till the end of the age. He will not leave them orphans. He will be with them to the end of the age in the power of the Holy Spirit that's coming on Pentecost. Blessed John Henry Newman, a very famous convert from England, said it is a mistake to limit Christ's word to the written word only, or to suggest that all his teachings were reduced to writing. The Bible supports nowhere either notion. And John told us that in his last chapter in 21. He said there were so many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain all the books. This book, the Bible, is a precious, precious book. It's God's word. It's inspired. It's true. It's inerrant. But God's bigger than a book. Solomon knew that. God couldn't be boxed up in a temple. God transcends. Jesus sent out the 12. He gave these 12 authority. He had authority from God the Father. He gives it to them. He gave them authority over evil spirits. He gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. Their authority comes from Jesus Christ, not their own power, the power of Christ. I have given authority for you to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. And after he dies, and they're starting the new church, this is in Acts chapter 5, and they want to kill them too. We killed Jesus, and now look what they're doing. They're going on and spreading this thing. We got to kill them. The Sanhedrin gathered. We got to kill these guys. And a very wise rabbi named Gamaliel said, wait. Can I talk to you, Sanhedrin? Can I tell you something? Careful what you're going to do to these men. Careful about what your intentions are. Therefore, in this case, I would advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. This Jewish rabbi says, if this is from God, you're not going to be able to stop these guys. If it's from God, well, 2,000 years later, no one stopped it yet. It must be from God. It has staying power 2,000 years later. Now, in your group, you might wrestle a bit with some doctrine, some opinions, some even how you interpret Scripture, what you thought it meant. So we let you wrestle a little bit. The Corleters are trained to let you wrestle. But the buck stops with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and every Corleter will have one in the classroom. The Jerusalem Council is the first council of the Church. It's in Acts 15 recorded. This was well before the New Testament was ever published. And Peter steps forward, the one Jesus Christ had given the keys to, and he speaks there. In our lifetime, we saw Vatican II in the same office of Peter, and the Church has been speaking ever since, the Holy Spirit. So in our lifetime, Vatican II opened under John the 23rd. Some of you remember this. He died during it because it was a four-year council. So then Pope Paul VI took over. And then when he died, we had Pope John Paul I, Pope number 263. How long did he last? 33 days. Very good. 33 days until God called this servant forward. A bishop from Krakow, Poland, or Karol Wojtyla, became Pope number 264. And what an anointing. How lucky we were to be in this lifetime. And at the same time at Vatican II, there was a young priest by the name of Father Joseph Ratzinger, and he was present as a theological consultant at Vatican II, and he was made a cardinal in 1977, and now he is our pope, elected pope number 265 in April of 2005. These two were dear friends, and I said this was a real 1-2 punch for Vatican City Boxing Club. This is power. These are full of the power of the Holy Spirit, these two men. This is a tremendous time to be living in the Church. The wealth that we have had from these two popes. This is Pope they were friends. This is him venerating his relics, the relics of Pope John Paul II in May of last year, his dear friend. 30 years after Vatican II, the Catechism was published. What a gift this was to the Church, and these two were deeply involved with it. There's an apostolic constitution written by John Paul II to all the people of God. That's us, too. And he says it's from him, a servant of the servants of God for everlasting memory. And he said the purpose of this assembly was to celebrate the graces and spiritual fruits of Vatican II. But many of them had expressed the desire for a catechism of the Catholic doctrine regarding faith and morals, that it would be composed, that they would have something to turn to and say, what do Catholics believe? What does the Church teach on this? And many of the bishops wanted this. And so John Paul II said, I made this my own desire, considering it a fully responding to a need for the universal Church. And so he gathers a team of how many? 12. And they work for 6 solid years. How long did it take to create the world? Well, that's next week. This is significant. I entrusted a commission of 12 cardinals and bishops chaired by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. And let's see. So this catechism would be faithfully and systematically, it would be steeped in Scripture, based on Scripture and the living tradition of the Church, the authentic magisterium and spiritual heritage of our Church Fathers and the saints. And I love this when he says that down the centuries, the Holy Spirit has intimated to the Church these things. There's an intimacy with the Holy Spirit in the life of the Church. And it would be a sure and authentic reference that would help us deepen our knowledge of the unfathomable riches of our salvation. He uses John 8 there, the fullness. That's, I came to give you life that you might have it to the fullest. And that it would support ecumenical efforts. And I think this is important since we're a mixed crowd with Protestants also. That all would be moved by holy desire for the unity of all Christians, showing carefully the content and wondrous harmony of the Catholic faith. And lastly, it's offered to every individual who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us and who wants to know what the Catholic Church believes. So at Seeking Truth, we will always uphold the teachings of the Catholic Church. And then John Paul beseeched the Virgin Mother, the mother of the Word incarnate, to support with her powerful intercession the catechetical work of the entire Church at this time in this new effort of evangelization. And that's the time we live in the new evangelization. Now, scholars worldwide started criticizing this. They said, are you kidding me? The Catholic Church is coming out with a catechism. Well, that's just going to be a big rule book, a big moral treatise. They don't need that. That's never going to sell. The people will hate it. They're not going to want it. Individualism had greatly crept into the culture as a result of the Reformation and freedom to individually interpret Scripture. I'll say what it means to me. You say what it means to you and to you and to you. And what do you think? And what's he saying? Oh, and she thinks something different. Well, it sold like hotcakes. They couldn't keep it on the shelf in Paris. It came out in France first. It had to be republished and republished. It has sold millions and millions and millions and millions of pop. The people want to know. They want a reference. They want it in their hand. The catechism presents the faith as an organic whole. It's a living faith. God's word is living and active, and it helps us see that. And it presents the faith while it teaches us about the faith. It does both things. It presents the faith and teaches us at the same time. It's awesome. Catholics didn't make up the faith. It was revealed by God's words and actions over the course of history. And if you want to bring someone to the Church, ask them to read the Church Fathers and to study history, because God reveals himself in human history. Church Fathers are still protecting and defending the Bride of Christ, the kingdom on earth, the Church. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait, as my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they started, then Judea, then Samaria, then all the earth. Because we have Google now. It's almost to all the earth. I'm not kidding you. And Jesus said, "And I will be with you to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you orphaned. I will be with you in the power of my Holy Spirit." The age of the Spirit to the end of the age. This is the age we live in, the age of the Holy Spirit. By virtue of your baptism, you are equipped by the Spirit of the living God. Every baptized Christian has a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Who did you tell today? I bet some of you did say, "I'm going to a Bible study tonight." That's a one way. That's an opening of the door. Pope Benedict calls on every member of the church to proclaim the gospel to everyone with the same enthusiasm as the early Christians, explaining that the gospel's not the exclusive property of those who received it, but it is a gift to share, good news to report. And this gift commitment is not given only to some, but to all the baptized. We're a common priesthood of Jesus Christ. We're to share his good news. The church exists solely to evangelize. That's what Pope Leo VI said. The church exists solely to evangelize, especially in this culture where we live, in the public square, in a hostile public square. We need to give voice to God's word. We also have a distance education program. I told you about that. Hi, distance. They're joining us by computer. And I'm going to just send you off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you. We thank you because you are Lord, our suffering mother, our sorrowful mother. Thank you for your yes to bear Christ to us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for becoming the Word made flesh that tabernacled among us, that is still among us today, living and active in your Word and in the Eucharist, in the true presence. We will close with a Hail Mary tonight in honor of Our Lady's feast day. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Genesis, Seeking Truth with Sharon Doran. To learn more about this Catholic Bible study and to find extended audio and video teachings, go to seekingtruth.net. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com in cooperation with Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study. Join us next time for Genesis, Seeking Truth with Sharon Doran.